Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, before we come up to pray together, let's continue to study. Elijah was a man of nature like ours. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You know, quite often you and I can ask or have a question, why, right, did God allow, you know, the land to be dry for 3.5 years? Just like nowadays, why God allowed us, right, to go to try tribulation? And why does the Lord Jesus Christ allow the church to be weak? But God always has his reasons, just like here. So the people, when they live a life of prosperity, they sin greatly against God. But now God caused a drought for 3.5 years. And during this time, there's no fruit, there's no produce. But after these 3.5 years of drought, that's why when Elijah, right, went up to Mount Carmel, and he began to fight, right, against what the 450 prophets. But in reality, it's 800 prophets, right? Because there's a prophet of Baal and also a prophet of Asherah, right? But he killed 450 of them. So after that, the people return back to God. And that's the time that they build to produce fruit. So in our lives, when we live a life of prosperity, when our life, everything is going well, sometimes we don't appreciate what we have, especially all the blessing that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. Just like the parable of the prodigal son. When he was at his father's house, he had everything. But even though he had everything, but he was not joyful, he was not happy, he was not content. So because of this, he asked his father, "Father, give me what belonged to me." So the minute his father gave him, he went to a far country and spent everything that he had on prodigal living. And then there came a famine. After the famine, instead of going back to the father, he went to join a city to that country. Then during a time, as he went out to feed the pigs, this means he had hit bottom in his life. As a Jewish person, there's no way they should even go near the swine, never mind feeding them. But during a time, the Bible said he began to be in want, but no one gave him anything. And that was the time that he came to realization how wonderful it is. When I was at my father's house, even the highest servant have enough bread to eat and to spare. And I'm here as a son, dying with hunger. So here, that's why in verse 18, and when Elijah prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. But when the heaven gave rain this time, then the earth, right? The earth represents our heart. It produced its fruit. So that's why when you and I go through trial and tribulation, it's a training. When the church, right, go into a weak spot, it's for training. But make sure during this training, you and I will not fall from faith. Make sure during this training, we continue to have great faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's come to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. So we know the first training that God gave Elijah is to live a life of simplicity and to rely on him. Even though there's no rain for many years, but God still provides for him. God still commands the raven to give him meat, bread, and he also drank from the brook. And after that, God taught him how to eat the bread of love. The bread of love. This widow, even though she had nothing in the house, only a handful of flour, and heard her son can eat it, then he gonna die. So now this widow, even though she's in the middle of suffering, But she did not neglect to show love to the man of God. She did not neglect to show love to those who were around her. So that's why, even though she has nothing to eat and whatever she has left, she's willing to give to Elijah. And this is great love. You know, we know that Mother Teresa, right? She spent her whole life working in orphanages, working with the orphans. But she wrote on her, you know, diary this one time that she was so touched by the action of this mother. So one night, in the middle of the night, there's a man knocking on her door, and this man shared with her that there's a family of five. They are starving to death. Please do something for them. So Mother Teresa just went to visit this mother. And sure enough, this family, their, you know, skins and bones, they were so skinny because they have nothing to eat. So she gave them a little bag of rice. But as she gave them a bag of rice, this mother divided this rice, right, into two portions. And then she told Mother Teresa, I will be back within half an hour. So she took half the portion and went away. Then half an hour she came back. And Mother Teresa said, what did you do with the other portion of the rice? She said, I also know a family. And they also died from starvation. So that's why I bring the other portion and gave it to them. So Mother Teresa, she was so touched. Why she was so touched? Actually, in her lifetime, she see many people show love to one another. But this mother be able to show love during a time of her suffering. This is greater love. Right? This is greater love. So that's why when the people crucified on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and then while he was suffering, he began to pray and ask God to forgive them for their sin. Just like Stephen. In the middle of his death, he began to pray for God to forgive the sin of others. This is true love. So that's why Mother Teresa, she was so touched. Why this mother, she's in the middle of suffering. She and her children are dying. But at the same time, she began to show love to others. As human being, right, and human nature, when we go through suffering, we always focus on ourselves. And it's very difficult to see others, what they're going through. That's why this widow, she has such great love. Even though she knew she was going to die. But with her love, she sacrificed whatever she has left through faith to make it to give the morsel of bread to Elijah. I remember there's a brother in Pacifica Church. He passed away now. And, you know, for some reason or another, I think he had a stroke, but we're not clear, right? Because after, you know, he confined to a wheelchair, he cannot really talk anymore. So when we try to ask him what happened, how he became, you know, confined to a wheelchair, we don't truly know. So every time I visit this brother, I just feel very pitiful. I feel I cannot reach him at all. So my routine is that every week I go and visit him. I would go to his house, and then I would take him out of the house. Actually, it's not his house. He's living this, you know, like senior home kind of place. So if I don't go there and take him out, he will stay in his bed, right? Confined to his bed 24/7. The only time he comes out of the bed and go on his wheelchair is when he go and eat. So when I go and wheel him out, I would go out and we walk around the neighborhood, right? We go to the park and things like that. And I've been doing that for a while, but I can never see the joy in this brother's face because he was suffering so much. Even though has two children during that time, and he also had a wife also. And his two children, they're not members. Even though they live only half an hour away from him, they never come to visit him. So because of this, he's always very sad. And his wife has nothing to do with him because of what happened to him. Right? So he's always feel very sad. Then one day, I got an idea. I said, let me bring this other brother and sister to visit him. Because this other sister, her life is also very pitiful. Right? She's very overweight. And she had chronic diabetes. So now with every day, she had to do something for her diabetes. And she hardly can walk. when she walks, she uses a cane. And also, you know, her one hand always has to be free because she's afraid she cannot walk, but she really can walk. So when I went to take him to visit his brother, then as we walk around the park, and then on my way back, I realized this sister, she brought a bunch of flowers. And for me, when I saw that, I couldn't believe, because I was walking in front of her. So she brought a bunch of flowers, and then she asked the senior home for a glass, and she put a flower in it. Then she put this flower in, in her brother's room. I was really touched during that time. Why? Because this sister, for her to get that flower from the park, she had to lean over. And for her to lean over, she put her own self in danger. Because if she leaned over and she's not balanced, and then she will fall and truly hurt herself, because there's no way she can get up, and there's no way I can lift her up, because she's very heavy. And not only that, when she's walking, it's not like 10 minutes walk, it's like half an hour walk. When she's walking, she always needs one hand to be free. But if one hand is full with, she has flowers, and the other hand with a cane, she has no free hand. Just in case she stumbled where to fall, she cannot do it. But even though that was the case, she sacrificed herself and picked this flower for this brother. So when she brought it to his room, I can see the smile on his face. That's really the last time I saw him. After that, he passed away. Right? But that was the last time I saw him. I never see him smile before. So he smiled and he tried to say to his sister, thank you. Because he tried to talk. Of course, he hadn't talked for a long time. He tried to say thank you to her. Why? Because this flower, even though it doesn't worth much, but because the love that she put in this flower means so much to him. His room before, when you walk in, really, is very cold and very dreary. It's always dark. But after the sister put this flower in, the room become much warmer, right? It become very cheerful. So that's why for us as Christians, if we really cannot show love toward one another, and then our whole purpose of living to glorify God, we have not been accomplished. So that's why here, this woman, in the middle of her suffering, she built to give whatever she had, the last thing she had, to keep herself alive and her son alive to the man of God. And because of this, God will repay her love. What about Elijah? Can you imagine if you were Elijah, you'd be so touched for what the widow have done for you. So the same thing. So that's why, look at verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Right? Verse 18. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? Verse 19. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arm and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Verse 20. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? Verse 21. And he stretches himself out on the child three times and cry out to the Lord and say, O Lord my God, I pray let the child's soul come back to him. Verse 22. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Verse 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Verse 24. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the words of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. So here we can see, right? So this widow, this woman, her son was so sick that he died. Why? Because there's no breath in him. But God did not forget her kindness. But God did not forget her kindness. Because of her kindness, because her love toward the man of God. So the man of God, God used him to revive her son. So that's why when we show love toward one another, sooner or later, they will repay love toward us. Because someday, we will also be down and out. Someday, we will go through kind of suffering and trial. But as that is the day, we will get payback in the sense that other people that we have done good to will do back to us. So just like this woman, if she did not give Elijah the last food that she ate, she had for him to eat, then Elijah would not stay around, right? If Elijah did not stay around, then when the son died, then the son would continue to die. He would not be resurrected. Just like the sister I told you about. Because for many years, we always try to, because she doesn't work, right? The sister who's, you know, who's heavy, right? For many years, she doesn't work, so she always had problems with trying to find housing. So after she showed this kind of kindness, and that was not only the first time she went with me, she went with me many times, right? Because after that time she got the flower for the brother, that's the last time I saw him smile, right? But after that, she came to visit him and tried to keep him company also. Then God repaid her love. Because even though that housing we tried to apply, it's 65 and over, right? If you're not 65 and over, you cannot be in that house. Then she was 62 during that time. So we just said, oh, let's apply for it, right? Let's apply for it, just to see what is, you know, if God can do something for you, right? So she applied for it, and she received the housing. And the housing normally, that one bedroom in that area, cost about $1,700 to $1,900 a month. And she paid only $225. $225. And for sure, it was God's grace. For sure, it was God's grace. So that's why for us, when we do something good, when we live a life of love, God can never forget us. God can never forget us. One of the biggest reasons why I'm still in TJC, because I truly receive love from brothers and sisters. Of course, our church is not perfect. I mean, everybody knows that, right? Our church is not perfect, but we should not look at the imperfect part of our church. We always look at the positive part, right? And that's what I do, right? If you try to find negative things about the church, you can list, you can write a whole book about it, right? But why? Why? But why not just try to look at the positive part and use that to encourage us? Of course, I'm Asian, right? But I don't speak Chinese, right? And quite often it's difficult for me as a pastor, right? And it's difficult for members, right, who doesn't speak English, right, for me to communicate with them. But love is a universal language, and that is for sure. You don't need to say I love you for people to know that I love you. Why? Because just smile at them, right? Just, you know, do some little action to show them. And this is enough. I remember one time an elder, right, came to teach me during the TTP. So during this time, he invited me to go out to a Japanese dinner with him, right? And of course, and then he invite all his friends. And this elder is like 80 years old, right? So for me to go with him, I just feel it can be very strange, right? And I'm hoping that all his friends are a little bit younger, but they're all the same age, right? So he's old and he's driving the car. I was like, oh God, please guide us, right? And then while I was sitting in the back seat, there's four of us, right? There's two of his friends and there's four of us total, including myself. Then this older member, right? And he tried to find a radio station for me to listen to, right? Then he put on hip-hop, right, music. And he's like, yeah, this channel, you like it, huh? I'll put on for you, right? I was like, wow, that's very funny, right? Because they all speak, actually they spoke Japanese during that time, right? Because they all like in a generation that spoke Japanese. So I'm just sitting in the back, and then that's not the uncomfortable part. So when we got to the restaurant, right? Everybody's looking at me, it's like, why this kid, young kid, hanging out with his old people, right? So we sit in like, you know, on a table. And then as we're sitting, and then every single one of these three of them, every single one of them, every time the food came out, they would take a piece of food and put it on my dish. All three of them at the same time, right? And I'm just sitting there, right? I'm just like, wow, it's really unbelievable. And then they don't even talk to me, right? They just talk to one another. But the minute the food come out, they just put it on my dish. And then really for me, I feel such great love from them, right? Even though they know that, you know, I'm very young, I don't understand what they're saying. Of course, even I understand what they're saying, I wouldn't, you know, whatever they talk about, it's not like 70 years before my time, right? But they were so cute, really. If you, yeah, like, you know, they were so cute. Even we went out to eat, they all wore suit, right? They all had their suit on to go out to eat, right? And for me, the way they treated me, even though they know I cannot understand them, but I felt great love from them. So little things like this in our church. Right? Really, I remember one when I was at Garden Grove Church, right? And I never had purple yam before, right? And one time they, you know, make purple yam for me. I say, wow, this yam is so good, right? The next 2 months, I had yam for lunch and dinner, every single day, right? Even this time during the IHTS, when I go to the pastor's room, guess what's there? Purple yam. My president. Really? They don't forget, right? That is like 7, 8 years ago. They still remember that I love purple yam, right? But I ate so much of it now, I don't really love it anymore, right? So this is the kind of love that we should, you know, really show one another. Because on the end, no longer, right, we are Taiwanese or Chinese or Cambodian or whatever it is, right? No longer we are like that. But rather, we have the same blood flowing through us. Right? And that blood is our Lord Jesus Christ. And for me, I always have this image inside my head. If I realize that every brother and sister have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the reason why you and I are brother and sister because of our Lord Jesus Christ, then I will try my best and do my best to love one another. And so far, I really feel grateful to God. I still feel very joyful to see brothers and sisters. As pastor, if I don't feel joyful, then I'm in trouble, right? Because every time I see brothers and sisters, I don't want to see them, then I cannot serve God anymore, right? But every church I go to, really, brothers and sisters show so much kindness. But at the same time, you and I also need to show kindness to others also, right? Because to receive love, we must show love also. If we be able to reach this point, then we'll be able to do great things for God. That's why after Elijah ate this bread of love, he resurrected this boy, right, from death. And after Elijah ate this bread of love, he built to destroy 450 false prophets, right? After Elijah ate this bread of love, he built to pray, and rain came upon the earth because of this bread. So may God continue to guide us. And please, try to look at the positive side of people, and try to look at the positive side of the church rather than be so negative, right? The minute we start to complain about each other, the minute we start to complain about the church, that is the beginning of our downfall. Because those who have left the church, always the one that started complaining about the church and complaining about others. So if you want to complain about others, look at ourselves first. Look at ourselves first. Are we doing what we're supposed to do as a chosen people of God? If I do that, I can never look at others. Why? Because it's enough to look at myself, how pitiful I am as a person. How I fall short of God's glory every day. If we build to do that, and then when we look at other brothers, we always think the positive side of them. So now let's come up and pray together and just give thanks to God.